And welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have Faith and Connie. They've been married for 26 years. Connie is here to support Faith sharing her journey. So we would like to welcome you both here. Welcome, Faith, and welcome, Connie.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Wonderful to have you.
The reason that we have Faith and Connie here in the studio tonight is because I knew Faith when Faith was Tim, when we were in elementary school, kindergarten. Faith just sent me a picture of us in kindergarten, and I cannot believe that there Tim was and there I was. It's like, oh my gosh, goodness. And then Faith reminded me that we actually went steady for 2 days. And so it's like, oh my gosh. And then we lost track of each other, and then we reconnected on Facebook, and then Faith, Tim told me that Tim was Faith, and then I started talking to Faith, and here Faith is, and we are just really super happy to have Faith here. In fact, Faith did tell me that she felt like Faith her whole life, even when I knew her as Tim in elementary school.
So Faith, there's a lot to learn about Faith and Connie. Faith was a beautician, and Connie was a computer programmer. So we're going to find out a lot about them, their talents, their passions, how they navigate the world. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and engineer Greg Moralia.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of May 6th, 2018. Hawaii is set to become the 12th state to ban conversion therapy for minors. The state's House and Senate passed a bill last Friday that would prevent licensed medical professionals and counselors from conducting sexuality and/or gender identity conversion therapy to people under the age of 18. The legislation in SB 270 discusses sexual orientation changes efforts as a practice that has no scientific backing and that can cause depression, suicide, loss of sexual feeling, anxiety, shame, negative self-image, and other negative feelings and behaviors. This is according to the American Psychological Association. The purpose of the act is to protect the physical and psychological well-being of minors, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth, against exposure to serious harm caused by sexual orientation change efforts. Hawaii Governor Dave Ilge is expected to sign the bill into law. And the Matthew Shepard Foundation, based in Denver, Colorado, announced last week that it will honor U.S. Olympic ice skater Adam Rippon with the Making a Difference Award this October at their annual gala. Adam is one of only two out male gay athletes representing the U.S. at this year's Winter Olympics. He brought home a bronze medal for his performance on the ice. Since returning from the Olympics, Rippon has become a highly visible LGBT activist. You can listen to our interview with Adam Rippon on demand at outbeatnews.com. Just click on show notes at the top of the page. And here in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors voted on a resolution last week that will create a leather and LGBTQ district in part of the city's South of Market neighborhood. The neighborhood remains home to gay and kink bars and the popular Folsom Street Fair, which draws thousands of people each year to celebrate leather sexuality. And the Bay Area Reporter announced that Frameline has announced its first slate of programs, including opening and closing night films and centerpiece selections for Frameline 42, the San Francisco International LGBTQ Film Festival, set to run June 14th through the 24th in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland. Frameline 42 will open with Trans Military, a powerful documentary that shines light on transgender people who currently serve in the U.S. military, now under very precarious conditions. You can learn more about Frameline 42 at frameline.org. And speaking of Pride, the Sonoma County Pride Planning Committee invites everyone interested in helping plan this year's Pride event, happening June 1st through the 3rd, to attend two upcoming meetings on May 9th and May 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. at Emeritus Hall at Santa Rosa JC. You can learn more at sonomacountypride.org. And don't forget, we have all your 2018 Pride celebration information all in one place. Go to our website at outbeatnews.com and click on the Pride banner in the center of the page. For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia. I love to change the world,
but I don't know what. And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof on Outbeat Radio, and we are in studio with Faith and Connie, married for 26 years, and we are so excited to have you in studio. If you missed our introduction, Connie is here just to support Faith. We will hear mostly from Faith tonight.
Faith, hi.
Hello.
And we just want to say, you know, Faith is really really nervous because this is your coming out. And it makes sense for you to be nervous, right? But you're amongst lovely audience out there, and you're amongst lovely people here. And we support you because as we get into the interview, you will learn more about your journey, because it's been a long journey, and the relationship that you have with Sheridan and how that came to be that you're here today. And so... So is there something you want to say right now? What do you feel? If you just talk about how you're feeling right in this moment, it's really important.
I feel scared and a little nervous. I am dressed for the very first time in front of anybody other than my wife.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for trusting us, yes. Faith.
You're doing good breathing. Yes. Always a nice chuckle is always helpful. good job. Okay.
Trust is really a super, super big issue. And a mutual friend of ours told me that he was friends with Sheridan. And I went, oh, my gosh, Sheridan. So I sent her a friend request. And she accepted right away. And I waited a little while. I wanted to tell her about my story because I knew that she would understand, because she was loving and caring back in grade school, and I trusted her then, and I trust her now. And I've never trusted anyone the way that I trust Sheridan, other than Connie. Mm-hmm. So,
beautiful. Good. You're feeling a little bit better? Yeah?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yeah. The first minute is always like the hardest, right? So, yeah, right. You're doing great. Excellent. Very clear. Yeah. So, yeah. Why don't you go ahead and just start that story? So, you contacted Sheridan.
Mm-hmm. I contacted Sheridan. I knew that I had to do something. I had just been suppressing my inner girl for many, many, many years. And it was something that I really didn't understand, but I knew that's who I really was on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Faith, I think it's important for you to say how many years, because that's really big and huge, you know. Really important to know how long you've been holding on to this part of yourself.
63 years. Mm-hmm. I'm 63 years old, and I have felt this way ever since I can remember, probably kindergarten when I met Sheridan. Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. I'm sorry. I know this is really serious, but I'm laughing because it's like we met each other in kindergarten, and you're 63 and I'm 62, and it's like we just reconnected on Facebook, and it's just like, wow, the years, you know, and this whole thing about you holding the secret, not only from us, I mean, we weren't even in your world, but from your family, from the people in your world, you've held the secret. And I just can't imagine how Ooh, that takes a lot of energy to have to always self-censor. And I'm just in awe of you, Faith, that you would, you know, dress for the first time in public, and you're allowing Diana and me to see you in your dress and dressing, and Greg, our engineer, you're just like really coming out, and it's just like I'm so super proud of you, you know. Mm-hmm. So what made you reach out to me after our mutual friend asked you if you remembered me? What made you reach out? I mean, did he tell you I was gay, or?
He did. Uh-huh. He did. Yeah, he said that he had reconnected with you, and he told me that you were gay and that you were married to Diana. And it was like ka-ching, like jackpot, you know? It's like, wow, Sheridan, really?
That cute little girl in kindergarten, yeah. Wow.
And so I went to your page, and I looked around a little bit, and I went to Diana's page and looked around a little bit, and I thought, wow, if I can't tell Sheridan, who can I tell? Mm. And I just felt an immediate connection, the same kind of connection that that I had with you when I was a child.
Mm. Thank you for that. So tell us a little bit more about your evolving with our conversations. Tell everybody how that came to be.
Well, I contacted you, and you had put a post on my Facebook page saying, "Hello, Tim, how are you?" And we just started talking from there. And I was just going through a lot of pain, a lot of misery. To be frank, I was really drinking myself to death. I was eating myself into oblivion, just not being able to be myself. Mm. And I told Sheridan in great big huge capital letters, "I am a cross-dresser." Mm. And she said, "I hope that you can revisit that," because I had told her that I hadn't dressed in well over 10 years. Mm. And when she said, "I hope that you can revisit that," mm-hmm. It's hard.
Take a beat. It's all right. It's all right. Just try to collect yourself. Take a big breath. Mm. But what did that mean to you when I said, "I hope you can revisit that"?
You gave me permission to be myself, and no one had ever done that in my entire life, just to be who I was. And when you gave me permission to be myself, it was just a whole nother world, another dimension for me. Mm. And I started feeling self-love and self-acceptance, because I have never accepted myself for who I am. I've always felt guilt and shame for having these feelings.
So in your family, I mean, where did the guilt and shame come from? I'm assuming your family, but how was it growing up in your family?
Well, it was chaotic, and I grew up pretty much in a dysfunctional home, and everybody was off doing their own thing, and I was pretty quiet. I never really thought of having an inner girl inside of me. I just did girl things. I was interested in girl things. I used to sneak into my mother's bedroom and wear her jewelry. Mm-hmm. And
did she ever catch you?
You know, she really never did catch me that I know of, but I have a sneaky suspicion that she knew, and she never said a word. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe she knew a lot more than she let on. Mm-hmm. Just before my mother passed, and in 2000, Connie and I were down visiting, and one of the last things that I said to her, I knew that I would never see her again. You know, I said, you know, Mom, I like girl things. And she just had a real big smile on her face, and she just shook her head yes. Mm. And that made me feel really, really good that maybe maybe she did know. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Well, that smile sounds like it was a real gift to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll remember that smile for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds to me like it was pure acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, that shows some courage. I mean, you had courage in 2000 to even say those words to your mom. Mm-hmm.
I just, it was something that just happened. It just came out. Mm-hmm. And it was all natural, and it couldn't have been really better. Mm. Couldn't have been better.
Yeah, you wanted her to know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, growing up, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I have always thought that I'm an abomination to God. Mm. A man wanting to, longing to wear women's clothes. Pretty much I think like a woman in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. How can you say a little bit more about that? Like, so you know what it is to think like a woman and think like a man. How do you see them different?
I think that my compassionate side, my softer side, has always been of faith. Mm. And the boy side of me is the part of me that was basically a facade. Mm. I don't know any other way to put it, but acting. I did so many things. I was very feminine growing up, feminine thinking, but I covered all that up with sports and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Kind of hanging out with the guys kind of attitude.
Yeah, I tried, but I was really never good at hanging out with the guys. I was always if we go to a party, you'll find me sitting over with the females and joining in with them. I've always felt very uncomfortable being one-on-one or having conversations with men. You'll find me with the girls.
I'm just curious more about, because I know that development, I mean, how the relationship grew with you and Sheridan, I think is really important for, you know, for you to share that out loud and for the audience to hear that progression, because you were writing each other back and forth, texting, and Cher would read some of the texts to me, and they would be like, wow, you guys were really into it. So I think it's really the way it developed, you know, because that's a journey for you, 7 months to be here, you know, today. So
I just told her everything. I mean, even if it really, you know, even if it was very trivial, just feelings that, you know, just popped in my head, you know, like I told her, I'm just starting to be me. I'll curl my eyelashes before I leave the house. Mm-hmm. You know, just real small things like that. Mm-hmm. And it was just allowing me to be who I was, or who I am.
Yeah, and it seemed like every day you would write me, "Good morning, Sheridan. I feel so good today. I'm Faith. I'm Faith. I'm Faith." And it's just like, it was. I could just feel your joy over the internet, you know. And it made me really happy. And it made me really happy that you could be yourself with me. And I wanted, you know, I invited you to come on the show, and what did you think when I first asked you?
I was really nervous and scared, but I knew it was something that I had to do. I felt so honored, and that someone would even ask me to do something like this. It seems like this always happens to other people and not me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just feel so privileged and honored that you asked me to do this.
I expected a phone interview. You know, I asked you to be on the show. You live in Washington State. I expected a phone interview. And when you said that you were going to come down to the station for the interview, it kind of just blew me away. I mean, that's a lot of effort to get here.
Well, I had to thank you in person, and I had to give you a hug, and I wanted for you to see my emotions and to see my face, that I just wanted you to know how sincere I am in my thankfulness.
Mm. Yeah. Well, what did you do before you came to the station today on your way down from Washington?
Well, we went and visited I have two children that live in Nevada, and we went there first. I got to visit with all my grandchildren. I got a sunburn on my face. It's turned to a crisp plain outside with the children, and I was just really myself with my kids this time. You know, with my feelings, and my feelings, I've just always held them inside, and I've been able to speak to them as who I am. They don't know about their father, but they know that there's something different about me.
How do you know that they know it?
I know it because especially my son and I, we have had a communication problem for a very long time. And I just decided just to start texting him and asking him questions and expressing my feelings and my love for him and his family and how proud that I am of him. And he just started texting me back and telling me, you know, what's going on in his life and what the kids are doing, and basically just telling me about his life, where I think he was uncomfortable before, and I as well was uncomfortable, but I am so much more comfortable now just being myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a wonderful thing.
So this journey is allowing you to be even more open and open with your people, and your family, in a sense. Not that you have to disclose about faith, but just your essence, you're a kind, compassionate person. And so you're showing that more without holding it back.
Exactly. It actually is just flowing out now.
Wow.
And I never knew how to, trying to be somebody that I wasn't and that I'm not, I just really didn't know how to communicate and to let my feelings just flow out freely.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, when you say you're yourself, but you're not dressing as Faith, what do you do inside your own psyche to, when you're presenting as Tim, but you feel like Faith inside, does that get confusing?
No, it really isn't confusing. At least for me, it's not. I don't know if it's confusing for anybody else, but just being able to be myself, I'm able to communicate my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so looking, I'm just curious about, I won't even go there yet. I'll do that later. But I just want to say that you're gorgeous.
Thank you.
You know, I know you wanted to be all, you know what? That would have been great if we would have had David and them guys come and do a makeover and, you know, show you the ropes, because we have these guys on some of my actors, and they can really do the makeup and, you know. And so that would have been great if we would have planned a makeover, like, for you to learn how to do all that fancy stuff.
That would have been wonderful.
Yeah.
It really would have.
Yeah.
What I do right now is once a week, every Sunday, We lock the doors, close all the windows, and I call it the ever so sweet transformation.
Oh.
And I basically am Faith in the flesh all day long that day. And even though I take off the makeup and the wig and the clothes, it flows over.
Oh, beautiful.
It just really flows over. And
so the door was has been opened.
The door has been opened. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm, beautiful. That's beautiful. I love what you said, the ever so sweet transformation. Mm. That could be the title of your book.
The ever sweet transformation.
Ever so sweet
transformation. Ever so sweet transformation. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I really sense your freedom. You know. And I think how do you feel? I don't want to speak for you, but right now, since we started to now, how are you noticing yourself?
I'm starting to relax a little bit more. Mm-hmm. My heart feels really happy. Mm. And I feel emotional. Mm.
Okay. This is probably a good time to take a music break. Mm-hmm. And you brought a song tonight that is kind of your and Connie's song. Could you describe why you brought, give the title of the song and then what does it mean to you? Why did you bring this particular song tonight?
Well, the song is Endless Love. And our love for each other is endless. We have endured so much in our marriage. And Connie has been with me through everything. Mm. It doesn't matter what it is. She has stood by my side through everything. And has always encouraged me to go after my dreams. I couldn't have asked for a better soulmate. Mm.
Mm. Beautiful.
All right, so we are going to take a music break with Endless Love and enjoy, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
There's only you in my life. The only, and that's why.
There's love. You're every breath that I take. You're every step I
beautiful song, Endless Love, Lionel Richie, Diana Ross. Beautiful. That's a wonderful tribute to you and Connie Faith. If you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan. And in studio, we have Faith and Connie, our guests for tonight. And I knew Faith as Tim when we were in kindergarten. And it's so wonderful to re-meet you as Faith and connect with you on a completely different level, like a more honest level. And, you know, we're adults now. We are able to articulate more fully about, you know, our lives and who we are. And so welcome back, everybody. And we were talking a little bit about our journey, your journey, and our texting journey with each other. So I think the question that's coming up for me now is, so you just talked so eloquently about Connie, your wife, being there for you every step of the way in your 26 years of marriage. So you also said you had children. You said you had two children. How old are they?
I have a son who is 42. I have a daughter, 38. And I have a daughter that is 32. Oh. And I haven't seen her or talked to her since she was 4.5 years old.
Oh, and why is that?
Well, I married a lady, and we had decided to have a child, and I wasn't being myself. I wasn't being true to myself. I wasn't being true to her. And I did tell her that I was bisexual and a cross-dresser. And she actually had me cross-dress and helped me with makeup, but started going off on her own way. And so it just eventually ended up in divorce.
Mm-hmm. And so did you lose rights to your daughter, or did you?
I didn't lose my rights to my daughter. What happened was is I was offered a job out of state, and we actually had joint custody. And when I moved to Washington State, I couldn't find them anymore. I spent years and years and years trying to find them. And when I did find them, my daughter had told me that she was really happy with her stepfather and she really didn't need me in her life.
Mm. Wow. That's hurtful. I'm so sorry.
Mm. It's not Thank because you. Of... She found out about that you were.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
I don't know what her mother told her.
Okay.
But I would assume because I would assume that she did because I'm a very loving, caring father, a generous father. My other children, I adore them and they adore me, and it's sad because I feel like. I just wish she would give me a chance so that she can make up her own mind mm-hmm. about me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what she knows, but I think maybe she does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have your two kids that you're in connection with. You have good contact and you can be yourself and Connie. And I'm just curious about other family members or any other friends that you can.
Well, I have a stepdaughter.
Oh.
And she doesn't know either, but I don't think it would be a problem if she did know. So I'm just really absolutely proud of her. Her best friend is a Washington State patrolman who is gay. Mm. Mm-hmm. So
her best friend is a gay man.
Yes.
So she's totally open. She sounds like she's totally open. So what's stopping you from telling her?
I really don't know. I've thought a little bit about it. I've told Connie I think that she could probably handle it. I don't think that she would be judgmental. But then you never know. I mean, maybe it might be too close to home for her. I don't know. It's scary, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it would be wonderful if she did know and she accepted me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is this a stepdaughter? Is that Connie's daughter?
Or? Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she was 11 years old. When I married, well, she was 11 years old when I met Connie, and then when Connie and I got married, she was 12 years old.
Oh, so you helped raise her then?
Oh, yeah, I helped raise her. As a matter of fact, I'm a retired hairdresser, and I did a whole lot of haircuts helping her out with food and clothes and furniture for her apartment while she attended Washington State University.
Nice. And so you mentioned other friends that you knew would share.
that mutual friends.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, they are so wonderful. They have been there for me. There are things that I told Sheridan first. I told Roger about my life as a bisexual and my other marriages, and you know, I let him know who I was just a little tiny bit at a time, and then I let them know everything with the help of Sheridan. So I really didn't know how to go about saying, hey, this is who I am. So finally one day I just did it. I said, hey, Roger, this is who I am. And he says, oh, my. So they have been there for me. Roger and Daniel both have been there for me. Anytime that I've reached out to them, they have been there always. Mm-hmm. So. They are wonderful, and thank you, boys. I call them the boys, B-O-Y-Z, so they, that's my name for them.
Oh, that's nice. It's so nice to hear that you all have reconnected since kindergarten. Oh, my gosh.
And Roger and I, you know, we hung out together when we were little kids, and I had no idea that we were both going to turn out gay. It's a crazy world how that happens. I think that happens a lot with little kids, and then they grow up as adults and find out that, you know, all their chums were gay.
Yeah. I was so quiet in school, and I stayed to myself. But Roger was in my combination 5th, 6th grade class, and I just admired him so much. I just always called him the smart, nice kid. Mm. And I knew that he was like me and that I was like him. I knew it from that early on.
Wow.
Wow.
You just connected with something inside him, but you couldn't name it, right?
No, I couldn't name it. I just knew that we were alike in some ways.
I wonder how he felt. Did you ever talk to him?
Yeah.
I talked to Roger in school just a little bit. I was so quiet and scared. I was scared the whole time I was in school. I was afraid to make friends with people. But he was there, and I knew that he was like me, and I just knew that I liked him. And we met through another mutual friend on Facebook, and he had made a comment, and it said, Roger Givens, and I went, my goodness, Roger Givens. And I typed out, hey, Roger Givens, I remember you. Do you remember me? And he says, oh, heck yeah. Mm-hmm. So
wow. That's such a small world.
It's a small world. Mm-hmm. It really is. But the connections are that we're similar. Mm-hmm.
Did he share, when you reconnected, did he share stories about his journey with you, as far as to help you, like Cher was sharing, the texting that you two did?
Well, I was really afraid. I wanted to tell him. I just really didn't know how. But I knew that he was always there, and that I could just always say, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I was just like slowly testing the waters. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have anybody that I could talk to mm-hmm. that would be understanding, and I knew that I could with Sheridan, Roger, and Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
Well, I listened to his interview about a week ago. And
the interview that he, when he came to our show yes. yeah. about a year ago or so? Okay. The one that's archived on
right.
outbeatradio.org.
Right. And I have had so much going on since then that there have some things that I wanted to share with him about. It just hurt me so deeply inside that he is just such a loving soul. And it hurt so bad that he was shunned by his own children. Mm. And I connected with that because I have a daughter that I'm pretty sure she doesn't have, you know, a relationship with me because of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've just been into myself lately, and I have been in Nevada visiting with my children, but I have so much that I would like to share with him and let him know that I understand.
Mm. Mm. So you're feeling more courageous to do that now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very much so. In fact, I'm very anxious too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I'm thinking about, here you are. You've made this huge step to come all the way here to Rona Park to be on our radio show and to show us faith. Right? To come out. This is a big, huge coming out for you. And you have your sweet, lovely wife next to you in this journey. And so I'm just thinking about, now that you've made this huge step, is there something that you like feeling into, like for the future or moving forward? What do you, I just want to know what you're experiencing after this 40 minutes of being with us and being here and feeling yourself. I'm just curious to.
I just want to reach out, and I want to learn, and I want to be around other people that are like me. Mm. And I want to somehow let people know that there are people out there that are like us and that it's okay to be who you are. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many of us that hide who we are because we think we've been taught that it's wrong to be who we are mm-hmm. As human beings. I just feel so much compassion for people that are going through what I've been through. Mm-hmm. And I just have so much more to learn. I really do. But
Say more about learning. What do you think you have to learn? I just want to hear what your words and what you're thinking about.
Well, I have been so much so quiet, and but now I want to learn how to be a friend. I don't know how to be someone's friend. When I reached out to Sheridan and I wrote to her, I had never had a relationship like that before, and I've never known how to do it, and I've never known how to be a friend. I want to be a friend to people, and I would like to have friendships.
Mm. That's wow, that's really stepping out, Faith. Mm-hmm. So you said you want to be around people that are like you. I'm wondering, in Washington State where you live, are there groups for people like you?
I don't know. I have to, it's been, baby steps, one little baby step at a time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I take too big of a step, I kind of trip over myself. I think just getting to this point where I'm at now, I think that I will be able to go back home and, do some research and, learn how to, learn where to go to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I've noticed that you use the word cross-dresser to describe yourself, and a lot of other people might use the words transgender. And I'm wondering if you've thought about yourself in those terms, or what you're thinking about that.
I think of myself as a cross-dresser / transgender. I don't know exactly where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I want to reach out to people that have already been there. And I just want to go slow and be myself and let whatever's going to unfold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good to go slow and not be pressured by anybody or anything, and go about your own journey the way that feels the most comfortable to you.
But yeah, it's important what you're saying, though, about the groups, mm-hmm. you know, finding like-minded people, people who are similar to you, and you can learn from each other, which would be really important. And they also have different groups for, like, spouses, you know, to join, so they can talk about their feelings, because it's real. I mean, there's something happening different between the two of you, so it's a reality to have a place where you can express yourself, and kind of a place for you to express yourself is really, really important for that to happen.
Yeah, it really is.
Like separate groups.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, separate groups. And I think the whole spouse thing is super important. It's almost like a gay youth who tells their parents, you know, I'm gay or I'm a lesbian, and then expects the parents to just accept them right away, and not really understanding that the parents have to go through a coming out period also. They have to go through acceptance and questioning, and then what do they tell their friends? And the parents have to come out as well as the youth. And mm-hmm. Many parents, I'd say, are, especially around here, seem like they're a little more accepting, but I don't really know the journey of my mother, for example. She's 80-something, and it took her 17 years to acknowledge Di and Mai's relationship. And then when we were just visiting her in January, she introduced Diana as my daughter's wife. Mm. So where did that shift go? How did she make that shift, you know, as a parent of a gay youth or a gay child? And so the same thing happens, I think, for a spouse. They've got to come to terms with it, and your wife that you had married previously didn't want to come to terms with it, correct?
Correct.
Uh-huh, and it ended up in divorce. And then you found Connie, who is sticking with you no matter what. And it's like, so those are the rare spouses who stick. And we've heard a lot about spouses who leave. And I'd say more spouses leave than spouses stay, but many spouses stay. So where does Connie go to find those spouses who choose to stay? Mm-hmm. You know? And what advice would you give Connie right now about that, Faith?
I think I just want Connie to be herself the way that she's allowing me to be myself. I think that is the most important. I don't want her to have to hide her feelings or to hold her feelings inside. Mm. She does. She holds her feelings inside. And it's just so harmful to ourselves to not be ourselves and not to be able to express our feelings. And it's really hard for her to express her feelings. And there are some feelings I think that I know how she's feeling, but then sometimes she'll tell me something totally different, and I'll go, wow, you know. And I just want her to be able to express herself the way that she has allowed me to express myself.
That's very loving. Mm-hmm. It's so loving to love somebody so much that you want them to be as authentic as possible. You
yes.
know, I think that's really like the perfect relationship, when you have someone in your corner who wants you to be you in your most truest form. And isn't that a gift, you know? I have that with Diana, And I'm so lucky to have that with you, Di.
Thank you, and I have that with you. I feel the same way, so we're getting all mushy and crying in here. We all got watery eyes, everybody, so yeah, that was just very lovely. Yeah, especially, you know, you get to a certain age, and it's like, I remember talking with you earlier, Faith, about you were just like at your end of your ropes, like you needed to do something needed to shift in you. And maybe you can just speak to that, because that's so huge, you know?
I think I was just getting to the point in my life where I'm getting older and hiding who I am and keeping it all inside was just a very harmful thing to do to myself. It became where I just was eating all of my feelings and drinking all my feelings. When I started talking with Sheridan, I was 315 pounds, and that was just 7 months ago. And I am down to 258 pounds. And wow. It's funny because a lot of people on Facebook are asking me, how are you doing it? How are you doing it? Oh, I'm just being myself. I'm cross-dressing on Sundays.
Freedom!
Wouldn't it be great to say that at some point?
Yes.
But so that's how you feel. You lost this weight because you are able to be yourself, or you have no interest in overeating or over drinking anymore, or how does that work?
No, I mean it's just all gone. I feel so much better about myself that I want to take care of myself now. Mm. And it was to the point where how could I take care of Connie, who has done such a wonderful job taking care of me all these years, if I'm eating myself to death, just gorging myself and drinking myself to death? There's no way that I could take care of her and do that and take care of myself, of who I am.
Mm. So something shifted 7 months ago. Wow.
Oh,
congratulations.
Yeah. It was just absolutely totally amazing, because I wrote out to Sheridan in big capital letters, I am a cross-dresser. And from that moment on, I put down the food, I put down the booze, and I just wanted to start living.
Mm, what a story.
Those words just freed you up when you said them out loud.
When I said them out loud, and when you gave me permission to be myself. I think that was a huge, perfectly... a key that just, you know, you put the key in, you turn it, and my life was just unlocked.
Oh, man, that's a great metaphor. Mm-hmm. Well, how long had it been since you had stopped dressing, or how long did you not dress for?
It was probably well over 10 years. What happened was, you know, I was just searching for myself. What is wrong with me? I just felt like my whole life, something's wrong with me. Why do I feel this way? Why do I long to do this? And
just take a beat. It's okay. Just take a nice big breath. So it was 10 years that you didn't dress, and you felt this longing inside, and you felt like something was wrong with you, and you were trying to figure out what was going on for 10 years.
For 10 years. But when I dressed before, it really wasn't anything like it is now. Mm. You know, now I know it's okay. There's really nothing wrong with me. I was born this way, and this is who I am.
Preach it. Come on, that was good. Nothing's wrong with me, and I was born this way. That was great.
I actually went to a client of mine, and she's a therapist, and she had told me that cross-dressing was actually a gender identity disorder caused by anxiety. So I really, you know, thought, oh, wow, I cross-dressed because I have an anxiety problem, and which I do have an anxiety problem. And I think the anxiety problem is really because I wasn't cross-dressing.
Exactly, because we have a lot of cross-dressing, because there's a lot of anxiety out there, honey. Yeah. Come on.
So I heard I was listening to the radio, and I was listening to a famous therapist, and she had just reinforced exactly what my therapist had told me. And so I thought, okay, well, I just can't cross-dress anymore because it's caused by anxiety. So because I wasn't myself, I was just going just steadily downhill.
And now you would say, if you could say something to those therapists, what would you say? Come on,
I don't know exactly what I would say. I would tell them that I appreciate them, you know, trying to help, and that is their belief, but it's not my belief. This is the way I was born. This is who I am. I've been this way ever since I can remember. And it's not caused by anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Not dressing causes the anxiety.
Exactly.
I love how you put that, Faith, so much.
Beautiful.
This has been a fantastic show, and it is coming to a close. I hate to say, because I can feel you. There's a shift. I can feel that you're just starting to get comfortable. That means you have to come back.
Okay.
Maybe we'll check in with you in 6 months or a year and find out what you're doing.
We can do it online too. You know, on the phone. So yeah, you can call in. Yeah.
Well, I had this fantasy actually of doing this show with the six of us, Roger, Daniel, Sheridan, Diana, and Connie. I think that would be, like, so awesome.
Well, maybe we can make that happen.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Faith. And Connie, in your strength, your quiet strength, we really want to thank you for being there for Faith tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we want to say goodbye to everybody. Faith, do you have any last words, 30 seconds or so, for anyone listening? Words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom, be yourself. Just be yourself, be who you are, and go with your heart.
Sounds beautiful. Thank you, Faith. Remember, like Faith and Connie, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can support others in being free and living their lives authentically. It's another way to help the world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month with our Voices of Pride show. Mm-hmm. Until then, good night.
Good night.
Join us next Sunday night for Outbeat Music. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB-FM Radio 91. Pride Month's coming up in just a couple of weeks, starting right here in Sonoma County, June 1st through the 3rd. And this year's celebration will take place in downtown Santa Rosa in the new Courthouse Square. You can learn more about all the Pride celebrations in one place at outbeatnews.com. Just click that Pride banner in the center of the page. You're listening to 91.1 KRCB-FM Windsor and 90.9 K215 CQ Santa Rosa. It is 9 p.m. Stay with us. Afropop is next. I can feel myself.